Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 1:33, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Proverbs 1:33. 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. And Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, 5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17. James chapter 5, verse 17. You will find this verse on the back of your bulletin today. You see it on the screen. James chapter 5, verse 17. We're making our way verse by verse, word by word actually, through the book of James. We're coming now to the close of this magnificent book. You perhaps will be able to see that the last two verses are outstanding also. The verse today is an interesting verse. We'll have a look at it, and I believe we will be able to receive some things that will cause us to be more effective believers. Elijah. We'll begin our reading in a few moments with James chapter 5. And we'll begin with verse 14, read to the end of the chapter. Before we do that, may we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize that we're here today because of the fact of your grace. Every breath we take, every time our heart ticks, it's another indication of the fact that you care for us and that you provide life. And you provide the means by which we can live every single day. We're not only thankful today for the spiritual blessings of life, but we're thankful for the logistical blessings of life. You've allowed us to have enough food, clothing, shelter, all of these things. And we are grateful for every blessing. We ask now that in these moments of study that we will have open minds, open hearts, that we will find ourselves in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll be able to receive spiritual truths that will enable us to be greater believers. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 5, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James 5:15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, and he has, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray to one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18 of James 5, and he prayed again. The sky poured rain. The earth produced its fruit. Now 19 and 20, my brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will deliver his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I'm already aware of the fact that right in the middle of all these verses, here comes Elijah. And I want to know what to do with Elijah. It says here that Elijah is like one of us. I just cannot imagine Elijah riding up to McDonald's and ordering a burger and French fries, if he's like one of you. When I look at this word Elijah, I'm aware of the fact that the word itself means Yahweh is God. If you'd like to write that down. Elijah, a person just like us. We discover that Elijah was a prophet in Israel. We discover that he defended the worship of Jehovah over the Phoenician gods of Baal. We find that he raised a little boy from death. He brought fire down from heaven through prayer. He was taken up by a whirlwind. When I think in terms of Elijah, I'm amazed at this individual. And I ask myself the question, how can the Scripture say here that he's anything like one of us? But that's exactly what the Scripture says. It says, Elijah, a person just like us. When I wrote that title down to bring the message today, I put down, Elijah, a person just like us. And that didn't seem to fit. And then I put a question mark at the end. Elijah, a person just like us. See the difference? A prophet, yes. The Scripture says that he had feelings like all the rest of us. Similar circumstances, similar pressures. There are some things that I know about Elijah that I want to share with you. And that is that the Scripture reveals very vividly that Elijah was a man. Being a man, that tells me that he had a sinful nature. And being a man with a sinful nature, I realize that he had some ups and downs in life. I believe that that is true of each person in this auditorium today. Elijah was a man. A man with a sinful nature like ours. When I take a look at the man Elijah, I discover that he was no person with a privileged status. We discover that he was living in the midst of ungodly times. I believe that that is true of us. Of course, at that time, there was Baal worship. Idolatrous, yes. Immoral, all of those things. What I try to do is to look at this verse of Scripture and ask myself a question. Why does it say Elias? E-L-I-A-S. Did you see that? And when I studied this, I realized that that is a word that is used for Elijah, so there's no problem there. When I look at the second word in this Greek text, I discover that it is the word anthropos, which simply says that he's a man. And I've already shared with you the fact that I've concluded that he's a man. Not anything unusual about that. I notice that the word anthropos is not another word that is used in the text that would reveal that he is classified as a noble man. The word that is used here is not necessarily saying that he's not a noble man. The emphasis here is upon the fact that he's a man. Elias was a man. But then I find a word that I want to share with you today. This is where we're going to spend most of our time. I'm amazed when I looked at this word. It says he was a man of like feelings to us. And when I looked at that word, like feelings, here's what I discovered. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, to take time to really listen to what I'm saying. Because I want you to see this word. If you'll look at it carefully on the back of your bulletin, you will discover that the word that's right under feelings is O-M-O-I-O-P-A-T-H-E-S. I see the word begins with a rough breathing mark up there, which simply indicates that that is the Greek word for H. And so stay with me as I read this, because what's going to happen to you, there are going to be some things coming into your mind. If you're a thinking person, and every person in this auditorium is, as I mention these things, some things are going to begin to come into your mind. Now, some of the things that are going to come into your mind, we're going to have to ask you to get rid of it pretty fast. Because you're going to think of something that I know you're going to think of, because you're not any different than any one of us. But the first part of the word is H-O-M-O. Now, I'm not going to even say the word. But when I said that, those letters to you, you thought of something. The next part of it is H-O-M-O-I-O. Now we're putting together that very first word that's used here. It is a Greek word that comes from H-O-M-O-I-S, which means same. It is the same word that comes from the verb H-O-M-E-O, homeo, which means similar or equal or resembling. Now stay with me just a little bit longer and let's look at this, because we see that the last part of the word is P-A-T-H-O-S, which is the root word pathos. And so we have a word homeopathos. Now we've got it all together. It is a word which means one of like feelings or one of like affections. When you come to the word pathos, it is a word in the original language which means suffering. So it means suffering like with another. Or we could do it like this, that the word pathos not only means suffering at times, but sometimes it doesn't mean suffering. It means a mishap. Or it may mean an experience. Or it could mean calamity. Or it could mean emotion of the mind. And it can either be good or bad, so it's not all bad. It's amazing to me to discover here that this is saying that Elijah was a person like us. He had characteristics like us. He had a nature like us. And having a nature like us simply means that he had good and bad. He thought some things that were right and some things that were not right. He had feelings like ours. He was living in the midst of circumstances that are like ours in some way. So when I analyzed this, I went to one passage of Scripture, which is in 1 Kings 18:36. And I'm going to ask you to go to that passage, please. 1 Kings 18:36. You're going to find this, I think, very, very interesting. 1 Kings 18:36. Then it came about at the same time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Most of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture, and I'm not getting into all the details, because I'm trying to point out some things specifically about Elijah. But when he prayed this prayer, the Scripture says in verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. What we're seeing is some characteristics about Elijah. When I analyze that passage of Scripture, and we'll go back in a few moments to look at some of the other passages of Scripture, I see that Elijah had four specific requests in his life. I would ask you to write these somewhere or remember them, please. When I look at 1 Kings 18:36, I see that it says it came about at the same time of the offering. The Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, he prayed, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Did you notice that? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you notice that? Today let it be known that thou art God in Israel. The first thing that I see here, and you want to write this down, is number one, by way of introduction. God alone is God. Elijah came to the conclusion that there was only one God, and you have to understand why he said that. Because of what was going on in the area, and the Baal worship, and all the various things. And you know a little bit about Ahab and Jezebel, so I don't need to get into all that. All of you are familiar, perhaps, with the fact that here is a man who is saying, I want the world to know that God alone is God. Amen. The second thing that I see here is, I am your servant. That's the second thing that he said. I am your servant. And I put out beside of that statement one little word, obedient. When I look at Elijah, I realize that he's a man. The scripture is saying that he's like us. My question is, how is he like us? Are we willing to say with Elijah, God alone is God, my God, and I am your obedient servant? When I look at this passage, 1 Kings 18:36, I see a third thing here. He says that I have done all these things at thy word. That I've done all these things at thy word. You can see immediately that Elijah is saying something that's very important. He's saying, God is my God. I am to be his obedient servant. And I want the world to know that what I've done all these things at his word. This is emphasizing the importance of us today as believers having the mind of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And my question to you, and even to my own heart, how is it possible for us to have the mind of Jesus Christ? We cannot have the mind of Jesus Christ if we do not know what he has to say. And we do not know what he has to say unless we are studying what he says. And that means that we're faithful and consistent in receiving the impartation and dissemination of truth. Then when I look down at 1 Kings 18:37, I see something else here that is I refer to as the fourth specific request of Elijah. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me. But that's not all that he says in that statement. Hear me, that they may know you are God, and that they will return to him. Do you see how powerful these statements are? I could spend the whole session today just on those four sessions, four specific statements. But I want to do this today. I want to give you a little overview so that we can get to the next sessions and we deal with ordinary that becomes extraordinary. I believe that all of us are ordinary individuals, but I believe what God wants from us is not to be ordinary, but to be extraordinary. And so the second session, we'll deal with that subject. But let's go back now to look at this verse of Scripture. What does it say? Elijah, a man, anthropos, A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-S. Now, I know that you are not all that interested, perhaps, but I want you to see a little word. It is a word that is translated here, was. Elijah, was. What does that word mean? Well, I have it down here for you to see. The verb is eimi, E-I-M-I. The word, it means something that's taking place in past time and continues to happen. In other words, imperfect tense means continuous action in past time. So it is telling me that Elijah was a man who continued to be what he was. That's important to us today. We are to continue to be what we are. In other words, what we are is what we're going to continue to be. But what we continue to be should be what we really should be. Now, I'm not talking in circles, may it sound that way, but I want you to see that God wants us to be something, and we are to be what we're to be. And so the verb here, Ami, says Elijah was continuous action in past time. He was one putting forth the action, and it was very real, the things he was doing. All that is described in that one little word. Elijah kept on being the kind of a man that he was. He was a prophet. He was an outstanding individual who was concerned about the welfare of the people. He was concerned about people getting away from Baal worship. He was concerned about people moving in the right direction. He was a man. He continued to be what he was. Elijah was a man. Then it says, like us. 9 points. I know in theology classes they say you're not supposed to end on an odd number. It's either 8 or 10, but mine's 9. I guess that shows I have a little rebellion in me. Number one, when I look at Elijah, he was a man, some Jewish writers say, that he was born not of a father and mother, but he came from an angel. Now, I realize that that's going to be new to some of you because you probably never heard that before. They say that he was a person born not of a father and mother, but of an angel, and that he was clothed with 4 elements of the world. This is referred to in 1 Kings 17:20. 1 Kings 19:3 through 5, verses 10 and 18. I'm not going to spend any time there because that is not the way it is. Number two, when we study Elijah, we must remember that he is a man. He was a man who stood before a wicked king, Ahab. We find that in chapters 16 through 22 of 1 Kings. I don't have the time to read all this today. You would not have the time to listen to it. But if you go back and read 1 Kings 16 chapter through the 22nd chapter, you'll read about this. You'll find some very interesting things that Elijah was a person who stood before a wicked king, Ahab. Now, I need to just insert this for a moment. Why was Ahab so bad? Well, I guess one of the reasons why he had a bad wife. When I name her, you're going to say, yes, she was. Her name was Jezebel. How are we going to say that? Well, you can read that. Some of you will want to read that before we leave today, but don't do it, please. Number three. There was a point of time when Elijah climbed on the top of Mount Carmel. 1 Kings chapter 18. I've asked you to turn to that passage. And he called in his prayer, and fire came down from heaven. 1 Kings chapter 18, 22 and following. Let me read a few of these verses. 1 Kings 18:20. So Ahab sent a messenger among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and he said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? One of the things that I've enjoyed over the years is to take Papaw, Joyce's dad's Bibles, and use them. Every morning when we get up, one of the first things we do is have Bible study. And one of the two Bibles I have next to my chair is the Bibles, two Bibles, from my father-in-law. My father-in-law loved the Word of God and read the Word of God daily. He studied God's Word, at least reading the Bible through once a year. There were times, I understand, that he read the Bible through two times in one year. And not only did he read with intent. And when you look at his Bibles, you will be amazed at how he underlines and writes things in the margin and how wonderful it is. Just to remember some of the things that that man did in those years ago. One of the things that I remember about him, he preached a sermon on "How long halt ye between two opinions?" This very passage right here. So when I read, I smiled and thought of my father-in-law. But let me read it. "If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, and listen to this, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one of the ox for themselves and cut it all up, and place it on wood, put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, He is God." And all the people answered and said, "That's a good idea." So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one ox for yourselves, prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but don't put any fire under that thing." Now that thing is what I added. Then they took the ox which was given them, they prepared it, they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. "Oh Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. They leaped about the altar which they made. They became very emotional. Now, that's not there. I just said that too. And it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Call out with a loud voice, for he's a god. He may be occupied. He may be gone on a trip, or is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened." So they cried with a loud voice, and they cut themselves according to their custom of swords and lances until blood began to gush out everywhere. Are you folks ready for this? We're going to be ready for our break in a few moments. And you go back there and enjoy your food. Just remember this. They cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out. Oh, I like to be dramatic. And it came about when midday was past that they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Listen. Then Elijah said to the people, "Now come near." So the people came to him. He repaired the altar, because they had messed up things. He repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Did you remember what I said at the beginning? Israel shall be your name. So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the ox in pieces, laid it on the wood. Then he filled 4 pitchers of water and poured it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And then he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. The water flowed around the altar. He also filled the trench with water. Then it came about at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today, let it be known, and you're going to remember that I read this a moment ago, let it be known that thou art God in Israel. I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. Man, when I was studying this, I wrote down some things, and maybe I can have time to refer to it. Because this particular passage of Scripture says, in prayer he prayed. Did you see that? I haven't even referred to it. On down in that verse. In prayer he prayed. O Lord, answer me. Why? That these people may know that you are the Lord. How should we live? That people will know that the Lord is God. What is our responsibility as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to help other people see that the Lord is God. That's what Elijah is doing here. Let it be known, let it be known that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. Then the fire of the Lord fell. And I can remember hearing my father-in-law preach this. And he would say, let the fire fall. I can just hear him now. He was a Baptist preacher. Let the fire fall. And I could hear it with emotion. And consume the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust. Then the fire fell and consumed the burnt offering and consumed the wood and consumed the stones, consumed the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Oh, are you listening? And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. In other words, that makes a difference, doesn't it? Amen. I'm telling you something. Elijah was a man. And if you're going to say he's like us, or we're like him, we better check things out, hadn't we? Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let any one of them escape. So they grabbed them. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and slew them there. Holy moly. Climbed up on top of Mount Carmel and called fire from heaven. That's number three. Number four. How do you lead this life? We find it in 2 Kings 2, verse 11. 2 Kings 2, 11. I'm going to take a few moments to read this because I believe it's well worth us hearing. You remember that there's another man by the name of Elisha. Elijah and Elisha. Remember that? And Elisha was very impressed with Elijah. He had every reason to be. And he said, you know what? When Elijah leaves here, I'd like to have some of his spirit. In fact, I'd like to have a double portion of his spirit. And so here's what's going to happen. 2 Kings 2. It came about when the Lord was about to take Elijah by a whirlwind. He went to Elisha and from Gilgal. We're in 2 Kings 2, 2. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. Now, if I were you, I would take a pen and I would underline these names, Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel, underline it. The sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? He said, yes, I know. Be still. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. I'm telling you, Elisha is saying to Elijah, let me tell you something, you can go where you want to go, but I'm going with you. Verse 5, the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? He said, yes, I know that. Be still. Elijah said to him, verse 6, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Now stay with me and let's look at this. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, folded it together, struck the waters, and the waters were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over dry ground. Now it came about when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Verse 10, he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken up from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so. Then it came about as they were going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it. And Elisha cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, its horsemen. He saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes, tore them in pieces. He also took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there. And Elisha crossed over. And then an interesting thing takes place here. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho said, why don't you go out and look for him? I'm sure he's out there somewhere. And Elisha said, no, we're not to do that. And they kept on insisting that he do it. They returned to him while he was staying at Jericho and said, did not I say to you, do not go? Verse 19, then the men of the city said to Elisha, behold now, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad. There's another story that goes on there. I want you to see how these individuals became upset. If you'll look down at verse 23, he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going by the way, some young lads came out from the city, and they mocked him, and they said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears, I'm not going to charge you extra for this, then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. And he went from there to Mount Carmel. There he returned to Samaria. The point on this one is the whirlwind and the chariot of fire took him. Well, let me just give you the other points and not preach on them, because I've got about 3 minutes to do it. In the next service, we're going to look at ordinary people living with extraordinary accomplishments. Number 6, what I've discovered is there's a scripture in the book of Luke that is called the Mount of Transfiguration. And in that Mount of Transfiguration, there's an emphasis upon the man Elijah. Luke 9, 28 and following, Matthew 17, 2. The seventh point is John the Baptist preaching. You remember that? And the people looked up and they said, oh, Elijah's coming back. found in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. But then number 8, this is interesting to me. I had not really realized this. Every Orthodox Jewish home at Passover put chairs around the table. And they spread there on the table the emblems of the Passover. And in these worship services that the Orthodox Jewish people do, in the Orthodox Jewish homes at the Passover, they always set up an empty chair. And that empty chair is a symbol of the fact that they're waiting for Elijah to come. Number 9. When I saw that there was a little boy that became ill, and that Elijah prayed, and that little boy was raised, and I put the question down here. Elijah, like us? Are we like him? What a challenge. Let's look at the verse now. Elijah was a man. My, we've already concluded he was a tremendous man. But the scripture says here that he was a person with emotions and feelings like any other man. But what we've noticed is that he does something that we've seen over and over in these scriptures. He was a man of intense prayer. I wrote it down like this. His praying was not just mere praying. It was not merely external or formal. It was not just praying with his lips, but praying with the Spirit. He prayed with understanding. He prayed with a heart engaged in his prayer. His prayer was a prayer of much earnestness, great vehemence, intenseness. His prayer was fervent. His prayer was constant. His prayer was persistent. His prayer was forceful. His prayer was unrelenting. His prayer continued till he had an answer. What kind of a praying person are we? May we bow for a moment. Father, we realize today that this verse of Scripture says that Elijah is a person like us. And yet we realize that we are so far away from the things we've been able to see today about this man. Similar circumstances, similar pressures. A man here with a nature like ours, with ups and downs, who lived in a time that was very ungodly. Baal worship, idolatrous, immoral. Help us to realize that we have responsibility as believers to be the kind of people like Elijah was. A person who prayed and who really knew how to pray and expected an answer. We pray for those who hear the message by way of the internet who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May they realize the importance today of having a personal relationship with our Lord. And we thank you for every person in this auditorium today. And we thank you for every person who has already done that. They've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And if life should end before the day is over, we'll be gone from this earth, but we'll be in our Lord's presence, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.